Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hope you're having a good Friday. Hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgated home 2020. Brought to you by our friends at Buckhead Butcher Shop. And we'll be telling you what we've got working coming up in about 40 minutes as part of our Yeah Man, No Man tailgate segment today. We're also going to get a chance to talk to Seth Emerson, guys, who covers the Dogs on a daily basis. Does a great job, and he will be part of our SEC preview brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, a proud sponsor and partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. So that's coming your way in about 20 minutes. Are you worried about this game, by the way, Dogs, Arkansas?
No. I mean, I think there'll be some funkiness in the beginning. I think there'll be some sloppiness because there's rust. I mean, it's still the strangest seasons of all time. Hopefully there's going to knock wood after you heard about what happened with Georgia State with COVID. But no, I think Georgia, I mean, Arkansas, the cupboard is bare. And Sam Pittman has a completely different philosophy than the previous coach. So I think it's going to be kind of funky. Real quick, before I got these guys on the clock, Carl, let me give a shout out. Brightbox is here, Carl. Make some noise for Brightbox.
Hey, Brightbox!
Philip and how's this for a great name for a guy? Jameson. I mean, that's a good dog name, too. Anyway, Philip and Jameson are here. These are the steel stud experts, Carl, when it comes to condo work. So the Brightbox guys are here, so they want to give a shout out. And there'll be a hearty tip for you. Hey, man, Al, and maybe some cash. So. Hell yeah, there you go. So Brightbox is on the job here in Midtown. Thanks, guys.
Just want to give a shout out. That's awesome. I'm with you.
But they
what
agree,
are they,
though.
The steel stud expert?
Steel stud expert. When you've got steel studs, it requires a certain kind of manpower. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know me. You know, like you say on the beginning of the show, I'm not afraid to call somebody.
I'm not. I'm not afraid, man. You got to do it. Hey, I can't do everything, Mike. We can't do it all. I mean, even as men, we want to.
I'm good under the hood, but with wood, I'm no good. So this is call the pros, man.
All right, guys. I hope they do a great job. We know they will. And if you are not familiar, Brightbox brings you our college football and dog report every day. So we talk a lot about those guys.
Yeah, they're probably like Cool Ray and all the guys. They just do a fantastic job. So you hear me doing the commercials. And so these guys really are the best.
More dog conversation coming up 3:20 right now. Let's talk some NFL with our NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, listen, if the check clears, just keep making the money. Fitz is never going to be a stud elite quarterback in this league. He's always been a stopgap. And in some cases, he's played well enough where you've wowed you and you went, man, maybe he should be the starter. He's not. He's made a great career and made a lot of money as being a backup. And right now, he's a stopgap. This is the guy that's holding the job until Tua is ready. But last night, Mike, 31-13 victory over Jacksonville, and you know, you watch him and you go, well, maybe he does give Miami right now their best chance to win.
Well, you know, he's a guy that you said it. I mean, he's never played a full 16-game season, but he's also a guy that when he gets the opportunity, he does just enough, for you said, for someone to cut him a nice check. I'll have to look it up on SpotRack and see what his career earnings are. Because remember, Buffalo gave him a contract. He had I think the high water mark there was 24 touchdowns. I think he also had 23 picks. I just punched it up. Then he goes to the Jets. Jets give him a little extra something in the envelope. He throws for 31 touchdowns one season. He always does just enough to keep you in the mix. And, of course, Tampa fits magic before, you know, obviously, you know, Jameis, got there. And then he got to kind of mop up for Jameis. But he's a fun, lovable guy. He's a Harvard guy. And as I said, you forget that he's actually, for his size and his age, he can still move pretty well, as he did last night.
Yeah, here's Fitz getting in the end zone, guys, in the third quarter.
And there it is. Quarterback draw, touchdown Miami.
Hey, that's pretty darn good call by you guys right there. They love playing with him.
Yes, they do. Mobbing him in the end zone.
31-13 was the final score. We did have a little controversy in this game when Cam Robinson was ejected in the third quarter of last night's game.
What a chicken blank call. Did you see it?
Of course. And matter of fact, I didn't think it was – he should not have been ejected. But here's what Doug Marrone, he's the coach of the Jags, was told by the officials.
I didn't see much at all. I saw Cam on the bottom. I saw the officials jump in there. The official told me afterwards that, you know, he jumped on him. And Cam went to push him off him. So he touched the official. That's what I was told. So, you know.
Now, Gardner Minshew fumbles. Cam Robinson's trying to get on it, and that's what he's talking about.
But
on
here's
the thing.
If you didn't see it, and I watched it live last night with my redneck sports bar with two TVs in the living room last night. But honestly, Carl, to me, you're in a scrum. You don't know who's trying to pull you off. I think he thought it was an opposing team member that was grabbing him. So he just swatted back with his arm. First off, there was no physical damage to the official. It was a real ticky-tack. It's one of those moments where you need somebody to be a leader of those referees to go, hey, let's cool our heads down for a second. It was complete jive call. I mean, it really was.
I thought so, too. Other news around the NFL, coaches being fined for not wearing their mask on the sideline. Here's what John Harbaugh had to say about this. Now, we've already, you know, they fined, what, five coaches already in the league, mm-hmm. $100,000. Their team's $250,000. Here's what Harbaugh had to say.
I understand the issues. You know, obviously, it makes it a little more challenging to communicate. You know, we've just really made an emphasis on it, you know, and we do it in practice. We do it in meetings. I mean, I'm in the meeting all the time, and I'm talking. I'm trying not to breathe this thing in because we talk fast. I got to hold it like this to talk because there's a lot of information that you're giving your guys, and it's really hard to do it through a mask. So it's definitely a challenge, but it's also a requirement, which we understand.
Yeah, I wish they would be a little bit more lenient when it comes to this particular rule. I do.
No, I just, like I said, you know, we know what we just mentioned with Georgia State and how their game with the 49ers up in Charlotte has been canceled. And we've seen it now. Again, every conference has had to deal with it. The SEC is just beginning, and we're going to wait and see. Missouri is a very scary situation with what they've had on campus. But in the NFL, they're testing more. They're spending more money. They're testing better. So you would think these guys, you might give them a little slack, but I think they want to keep up appearances for the public and say, look, this is how we all should be wearing a mask. So, look, I get the logic, but the fines, man, that's not chicken feed, bro, what they're slapping these guys with.
On Sunday, guys, the Raiders visit the Patriots, and there's been a lot of talk this week about Cam Newton. Cam was asked about, you know, all the things that are being said about him. Here's what Cam says.
Who cares about QBR? Who cares about total tackles? Who cares about yards after catch? Who cares about catches? Who cares about yards thrown? Who cares about yards rushed? Who cares how many touchdowns you threw, ran, or interceptions you've got, or whatever? From youth league, rec ball, football, to high school, to college, to anything that requires you keeping score. The most important statistic is, did you win or did you lose?
Can't disagree with anything Cam said right there. I don't care about style points. I mean, look at the Ravens. Look how bad, you know, think about like the year they won the Super Bowl. Their offense, you know, it was basically Jamal Lewis running the ball and a mediocre quarterback. Who cares how you get it done? Just get it done.
Yeah, that's a great response, which tells me, Mike, again, and maybe I think we heard this in the summer. No, I know.
I never seen him. By the way, you know, a few more plays here and there, they could have beat the Seattle Seahawks.
It came down to last play. But you see,
but do you see though? Because everyone, the knock on Jameis was the lazy off. I know people get mad. You say lazy, but because he wouldn't put the work in sometimes with his technique, he would throw off the back foot. He would trust his arm strength, but he's making the throws. The Patriots have coached him to do better with that. And look, him and the mojo he's got with Edelman has already been, you know, forged in just 2 weeks.
Yeah, the best that was. One of the best responses all week. The other one was they asked him why he threw to Edelman, and his response, he looks at the reporter, he goes, "It's Jules." And it was it. Like, you've seen this guy in his career? I'm going to trust him to make his play. Yeah, it was great. But, Cam, the point is, that answer, he gets it. I mean, all the stuff, all this other stuff doesn't matter. Yeah, he's still going to have fun and do his Superman stuff, but all the other stuff doesn't matter if you don't win. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Mike and I have spent a lot of time about what's going on with the Chargers because it's one of the most interesting and fascinating stories we've seen in a long time where your quarterback basically gets jacked by your doctor. But Anthony Lynn is the coach of the Chargers, and he was asked about Justin Herbert when he told him last week, you got to play. By the way, he's been named the starter this week, if you're wondering. So, you know, if you got a league or whatever you're doing, Herbert is going to be the starter. But here's what Anthony Lynn said when he told Herbert, you're our guy.
I got to tell you, the young quarterback under those circumstances, you know, I went over to him and told him, you're the starting quarterback right now. And
wow.
He didn't believe me at first. And I said, no, Justin, I'm serious. And he didn't blink now. And I was so proud of the way he played under those circumstances.
Panthers at Chargers this weekend, Mike.
Yeah, and the Chargers, you know, they're in a tough spot. I mean, I thought they did a hell of a job last week. If you saw the Kansas City Chiefs game, they really had the Chiefs, you know, stymied for much of it until Patrick Mahomes did his thing and Tyreek Hill and yada yada. And then, by the way, Harrison Butker, the butt kicker, with two gigantic long field goals to tie and then win that game. So, yeah, the Chargers are certainly due. They are 6.5-point favorites as Carolina is coming to, SoFi? So we'll see what happens there. Fantasy alert. A lot of guys are banged up, as you well know. It looks like Godwin's back for the Bucs. George Kittle has been ruled out, Carl, for week 3 for the 49ers.
Mm.
So that's an issue right there. Davante Adams, big, you know, fantasy player. That's why he's always drafted so high for the Packers. And that still looks to be a game-time decision with that, I guess, a hamstring or whatever the leg injury is.
By the way, you're wondering when Tyrod Taylor got hurt. Not how the doctor tried to follow up to give him a pain injection pain relief, should I say. Here's how allegedly that all went down. It happened in week 1. Anthony Lynn described Tyrod Taylor's injury.
It was just unfortunate. You know, the young man had fractured his ribs early in the game, the first week. No one knew it. I knew something was wrong, but he just told me it was soreness. And so we get an MRI, and that's when we find out the ribs were cracked. So we put him on the injury report at that time with the ribs, and then the injection, and there were just complications with the injection before the game.
Complications. That's one way of saying the guy put the needles through his rib cage into his lungs.
Yeah, it's crazy. Hey, Odell,
you know,
Odell,
your ribs. You know, isn't the doctor supposed to like do like the thing where you feel where the rib is and where the, you know, where, I mean, I don't get how that happened. I still don't understand that.
I don't either, man. Odell Beckham, by the way, expects, he says this, not me. He won't have a big season, numbers wise. The Browns have the best 1-2 running punch with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. So remember before the season, he was like, yeah, I'm putting up big numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of retracted that statement now, Mike, saying he's facing reality that there's probably not going to be big numbers in his future with the Browns.
Hey, buddy, who's ready for some 49er football with Nick Mullins over center? Garoppolo is out. Tevin Coleman is banged up. Raheem Mostert also will not play, according to Kyle Shanahan. So, yikes. All of a sudden, the 49ers stock, Carl. I know they beat the Jets last week. By the way, the NFL said there's nothing wrong with the turf at MetLife because, remember, the Steelers and Giants had just played there 6 days prior. But for whatever, just a strange set of circumstances where the 49ers just get decimated with injuries in that game.
All right, guys, we got plenty more to get to. What's the latest with the dogs? Seth Emerson is going to stop by to tell us his thoughts as the SEC season gets underway as our SEC preview continues this week. Brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, it's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. We're getting ready for the start of the SEC tomorrow. Full slate of games, and I'm excited about it. Dogs get a chance to start their season against Arkansas, and Seth Emerson, who writes for The Athletic, covers Georgia football and athletics, and has for a very long time, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline as part of our SEC preview brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, a proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. And Seth, I don't know if you have any more insight or not, but Mike and I have been talking about it all week. Who's the quarterback going to be?
Dwan Mathis. Next question.
All right. So will we see Jay? By the way, is this the longest medical evaluation in the history of college sports?
Possibly, but I'm not sure. It's kind of immaterial at this point. Mathis has, was going to be the quarterback. I'm not going to say whether or not Daniels was cleared, but I think the decision was made long enough ago that they couldn't, even if it was close, even if it was unsure, they didn't want to devote a bunch of first-team reps to a guy that they couldn't be sure would be cleared. And I think Mathis also impressing him the way they did and being able to do some things that they had hoped to do with Jamie Newman allows them to take it a little bit more slower with JT Daniels anyway.
Now, Mathis was committed at one point. He was going to go to Ohio State, right? Is that right?
Yeah, that was actually the third school he was committed to. He was first committed to Iowa State,
right,
like around his sophomore, junior year of high school, then to Michigan State, and then to Ohio State. So he kind of worked his way up, Iowa State, Michigan State, Ohio State, and then the Justin Fields things happen, and he ends up at Georgia, sort of a trade, almost, that at the time looks not good for Georgia, but who knows, maybe the trade isn't done.
People don't realize how big this guy is because, again, he had the brain operation, the surgery, and all that that entailed. He's 6'6". So I know we think of, like, the dual, you know, I mean, we talked to Shockley yesterday. This guy's a lot bigger. He's a big dude.
Yeah, Shockley was 6'2". Still is, but as a football player, 6'2". And Mathis is, you know, Mathis was listed actually coming out of high school at 6'4". He's now 6'6". So Georgia's strength and conditioning program really putting on the inches on this, but you get the point. Like, at that point, it doesn't matter too much. He's still listed at 205. I don't know if he's put on weight, but yeah, I mean, he's a tall kid. He's got that long, smooth throw. He can run. He's intriguing.
Seth Emerson joining us, guys, talking about the Dogs as part of our SEC preview. Let's talk about, you know, this O-line and all the things that we've heard about how good this O-line could be. Now, obviously, Sam Pittman helped put a lot of these guys in place, but this is a line that is going to open up holes for Zamir White. Obviously, they're going to protect DeJuan Mathis and you know, give him time to throw the ball down the field to Pickens. How good is this O-line compared to what we've seen over the last couple of years, in your opinion?
You know, talent-wise, it's hard to beat last year because three of the starters last year are now starting in the NFL as rookies. Another one would be starting for Georgia at left tackle, but now he's find out if he's getting a waiver to play tomorrow. But Georgia still has a lot of talent there, and they could perform better this year because the offense could be set up better. The issue with last year was they didn't quite get the consistent. A lot of times because it was five going against nine or ten in the box. The defense didn't respect the passing game because they didn't have to a lot of times. Georgia, if they can get the passing game going, if they can force the safety and the outside linebacker to worry about DeJuan Mathis as a runner and really truly stretch the field, then it's going to be easier for Zamir White and James Cook to get the ball and get some holes going up the middle and for that O-line to get a push, to get a few more one-on-one matchups, 5-on-6, 5-on-7 versus the 5-on-9, 5-on-10 they were facing last year.
It is Seth Emerson with his guys from The Athletic covering the Georgia Bulldogs. Real quick, we talked a little bit about this yesterday with Shock. Were you surprised by the Otis Reese allegations? I mean, we don't know the full story, so we've seen other players, you know, do what they've got to do to get the transfer done. What do you make of all this?
Yeah, the Reese thing was flying under the radar because everyone was really focused on Cade Mays. And Reese, I had to check, like, recently, like, has he gotten his waiver to play yet at Ole Miss? And he obviously wasn't the player that at Georgia that Cade Mays was. But then he obviously decided to go full tilt, and that was a message that was aimed at pressuring and shaming the SEC into letting him have the waiver. You know, the stuff he said about racism with local police and UGA police is something that was corroborated, at least one specific incident by Kyrus Jackson, who, you know, he's one of Georgia's team leaders, and there were a few other Georgia players like Monty Rice, Demetrius Robertson, who came out and tweeted their support just in general, just saying let him play. But he didn't allege like racism within George's program. What he alleged was that Kirby basically, before what was the fifth game that would have burned his red shirt, like, quote-unquote, manipulated him into playing. But, you know, look, the SEC rule at this point, it's on the SEC's desk. The SEC rule is that the former school doesn't have a say in it. Now, if you believe that if Georgia went to Greg Sankey right now and said, we're fine with it, just sign off on it, then, yeah, I think it's reasonable to believe that. But it looks from all outward appearances that this was a case of playing time. You could look at it, like, especially once Richard LeCount came back for senior year, it was going to be hard for Otis Reese to have a path to playing, to at least starting as a junior. And he's doing what other people have done, which is to try to, you know, throw everything out there to exert some pressure. Doesn't mean that there's not some truth to some of it.
Seth Emerson joining us, guys. Again, brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, our SEC preview, a proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. I wasn't as worried about the quarterback situation simply because I know this defense is going to be stout. When you've got guys like, you know, Malik Herring and Monty Rice and N'Kobe Dean, all these guys coming back, there's a nice mix, Seth, of senior leadership here and then just guys that can flat out play that are coming back. This defense is loaded, isn't it?
It is. And there's no weak link. Tell me where the weak link is, like any position, any unit. And there's not a weak link on the second team. They're deep everywhere. Guys like Tyreek Stevenson, Trayvon Walker, sophomores who were five stars who could start for almost any other team in the country, don't have guaranteed starting spots. Tyreek Stevenson will probably be nickel corner or dime corner. That's just how deep they are. And that is not just being greedy in terms of that depth and being able to afford some injuries. It makes them better because it's what they did last year. They were able to shuttle in guys and keep guys fresh and say, all right, you're a first down guy. You're a second down guy. You're a third down and short guy. You're a third down and long guy, et cetera, et cetera. And so they shuttle guys in and out. They play 23, 24 guys, and these guys are all fresh because they're specializing. You know, there's edge rushers that are only coming on third down, stuff like that. And they're going to be able to do that to start this year, too.
It is our man Seth Emerson from The Athletic talking about the Dogs. We find out from Seth that, yes, it will be Dwan Mathis. Dwan time, as he'll be under center. The Jamie Newman thing, by the way, how blindsided were they by that? I know we haven't had a chance to debrief since all that went down.
That was one of, everyone publicly was blindsided by it. They keep things battened up there. We've heard some buzz that, like, since then, that they had an inkling that something was up with him a little bit before that. But, look, he played in Georgia's the preseason scrimmage. The first preseason scrimmage they had was that Saturday. He opted out. He went and told Kirby Smart the following Tuesday. In that first preseason scrimmage, he and Daniels split first-team reps, and Dwan Mathis got a few situational first team reps. So they were planning on Newman being the starter unless, you know, he didn't win the job. That was their plan. He opts out. They go back to the drawing board, and here we are with Mathis being the guy, partially because Daniels isn't cleared. But like we said, if Daniels had been cleared, it's not 100% certain that he would have been the starter.
Seth, what happens Saturday? Dogs handle their business. Does Arkansas even challenge this Dog team on Saturday?
Yeah, I don't think so. And it probably helps Georgia's cause that Arkansas is only going to have like 16,000 to 17,000 in there. So right. You're not going to be dealing with a ferocious home crowd. Then again, look, it's 2020. There's going to be some funky results. There was no spring practice. We had an elongated summer, but it's been different. So you can't rule anything out at this point. But everything I've heard indicates that Georgia's in good shape this week, that they're, you know, you're not going to see this, like, you know, 30, 35 guys not there like you've seen, like, for Georgia Southern a couple weeks ago. They should be have enough guys to take care of business tomorrow.
The schedule when it came out, obviously everybody wanted to see, you know, Arkansas, maybe Miss State first. But the run of games that Georgia's got to play, I mean, that's no joke. I mean, there's nobody in the country, I say every week, Seth, that's going to play the kind of schedule that Georgia's going to play with Auburn. And by the way, we shouldn't sleep on Auburn, I don't think.
No. No, and the first, after this week, the run of the next four games, if I'm remembering right, I'm just trying to live week to week because you're also hoping all these, none of these games get canceled or postponed, but
right.
Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, and then I believe it's Kentucky.
Good old line.
Florida.
Yeah.
If I have that right, yeah. And Kentucky's a team that's starting to, people are starting to talk a little bit more about them. I think it's likely that Georgia's toughest five games are in a row after this one against Arkansas. Now you got South Carolina in there in November, and, you know, say what you will, but I was there when South Carolina came to Georgia and won last year too. So, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be a run here. I still think Georgia's the favorite in the East, no matter what that media vote that was released yesterday was. I think that they have a better chance of beating Alabama with only 20% capacity, although I'd still pick Alabama at this point. But I at this point, you know, I think Georgia's the favorite in the East, and I expect them to go 8-2, 9-1, probably 9-1. But again, it's going to be a crazy year. It's going to be a weird year. So I don't think you can assume anything.
Seth, Attack the Day. Oh, that's your book. I'm sorry. Hey, man.
How's the book selling, by the way? Right? How's the book selling?
Appreciate you.
Everything I hear is good. Everything, you know, people, my wife is only through 33 pages, and she's not going to read further, but she's, you know, she's an academic. She really is not a football fan. She's not impressed by any of my football stories, but everyone else really likes it, and it's going well, and sales are good, is everything from everything I've heard.
No, it's good. Check it out, guys. It is called Attack the Day. I'm clowning around, but it's Kirby Smart and Georgia's Return to Glory. It's everywhere you can find books, guys. Good, if you want a good read as you head into football season. Hey, man, appreciate you. Thanks for stopping by. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys.
Seth Emerson, Dogs, he says, should not have a problem against Arkansas. Laying out the season there. Interesting stuff. Hey, Pac-12 is back. We're going to talk about that coming up in about 25 minutes and what it means for college football. If you missed Hayden Hurst on the show earlier this week, we're going to replay that for you as well in the 4 o'clock hour. Really good stuff. And then we find out that Hayden Hurst and Dak have actually connected, and they're going to do some stuff we'll tell you about. But coming up next, Yeah Man, No Man, it's our Tailgate at Home 2020 edition on Dukes and Bell.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like I should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid-fire questions. It's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan.
All right, guys, let's talk about what's going on today with hashtag Dukes and Bell Tailgating Home 2020. It continues, and we always tell you, if you're not putting something on today, maybe over the weekend as football continues, it doesn't matter. We'd love to see your pictures. Follow all of us and send your pictures out, man. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, of course. Bo Morgan is Squidbilly 929. That is his Twitter address. And then Mike Conti 929. With that, we'll bring in Bo Morgan. What's going on today, Bo?
Hey, I'm just getting ready for a little high school football tonight. And I don't know if I sent Carl you, but I know I sent Mike, both Mikes here. I did a steak last night. I found like almost a 3-pound top sirloin that I put on the Traeger last night. Man, it was so good.
Sounds delicious.
The picture, I mean, the thing, it literally, Carl, looked like one of those deals when we were down at the Smith & Walensky's in Miami when they do like the steak for two.
Oh, yeah.
It's monstrous. It really was. Good job, Squid.
We had leftovers, which I finished off for lunch today, so they're not leftover anymore. All right. So I'm so excited that that college football is really, really, really back this weekend with the SEC. Steph Emerson, I kind of breaking news on our show. That's the first I'd heard for sure that Dwan Mathis was going to be the starter. So I went and decided that I was going to do a little meat smoking fiesta. And got some neighbors.
That sounds so – never mind. Go right ahead, sir.
You know what, Mike? Just simmer down over there.
Sorry, sir.
So I have a 9-pound Boston butt. Is going to go on the smoker tonight around probably around 11 o'clock. So I'm going to let that thing, that bad boy, sit for a while and let the Traeger work its magic while I sleep. And then when I wake up, first thing in the morning, I've got two 2.5-pound round roast that I'm going to throw on there as well. And I'm putting, I'm doing the Mike Conti double rub for both. I've already rubbed my pork butts, and I'm actually going to do that here soon. I'm going to put a rub on the roast. And then tonight when I pull the pork butt, I'll let it sit for about an hour and a half, let it get a little room tip, double rub it the Mike Conti way, and throw it on there. And I'll do the same with brown roast, and I'm going to cook those bad boys. And I'm going to have about 13 pounds of meat come Saturday afternoon when Georgia kicks off.
Very nice. You got a full plan. I said this, and I think this applies to Conti as well, as we bring in Mike Conti. More, it seems like, at least for me, over the last couple of weeks, I've been doing more on the weekend with football coming back on. And like last week with the Cowboys, I had the shrimp boil and crab legs and all that stuff going on. Conti, are you cooking on football day, or are you cooking tonight?
No, I am going to cook tomorrow, but I did the exact same thing as you last Sunday, Carl. I did one of those split turkey breasts and brined it. Actually started the brine on Friday, and Bo talks about the double rub. I guess this was a double brine because I let it brine for an extra day. And then use that mad turkey rub from Dizzy Pig, which I think is delicious. Smoked turkey breast on Sunday during the Falcons game, which was just phenomenal. I don't think there's anything better than doing turkey on a smoker, because turkey is such like a neutral meat that what you do to it with the smoke and the seasoning is kind of like the best way that you can show your range of barbecue ability. So it turned out great. Carl, I'm going to do something tomorrow. Here's the problem, though. I'm not 100% positive I can get the particular cut of meat I'm thinking about. So I don't want to tease it on the air just in case. But if I do, I can assure you it will involve two things: reverse searing and a lot of butter. So if I can get it tomorrow morning, I will have pictures tomorrow night. Because unlike Bo and the rest of you guys who like ACC and SEC programs, alums of Big Ten programs such as myself still have to wait another month. So I'll have plenty of time tomorrow.
That's true. Yeah. Well, at least you're back. Come on,
man. Hey, man. I'll take it. October 24th can't get here soon enough.
So, Mike, I know you guys are moving around and you're trying to get the condo ready. What's going on there?
The realtor said we have to give it that lived-in feeling again. So even though we have no like personal effects in this place, it looks like a hotel room. We're doing some fish tonight. Becky got that tuna. She's going to do that sesame rub and everything and just cook it for just a second. So she loves that. And I'm doing the swordfish. We got it from Buckhead Butcher Shop guys over on Far Road, who present, of course, our hashtag Dukes of Bell tailgate at home. So last time I did the swordfish, Mike Conti, I kind of did a little too much. So I'm going to back it off, maybe about 2.5-3 minutes on each side, and throw it in the oven for about 8 or 9 minutes at about 400 degrees. But it's already seasoned. It's pre-seasoned. It's a Cajun swordfish. So basically like a blackened swordfish from Buckhead Butcher Shop.
Mike, if you can get some kind of cream sauce on that for next time, you're going to be in swordfish heaven, because the Cajun seasoning with the cream sauce just pairs really, really well.
Hold on one second. Hey, lady, whip up a cream sauce.
Exactly.
You know what I do? I take the Hollandaise envelope and just make that. Yeah. Very, very easy.
I'm milk static. I'm getting static from the Minister of Finance here, but we're going to work on that. We're going to try to get that hashed out.
Mike, it's all good. Mike, go ahead, Bo.
If you got people coming to see your place tomorrow, what you need to do is you need to get the crock pot out, and you need to put a roast into the crock pot while people are coming into your house. There is nothing like walking in a home that you're looking to buy and smelling food cooking. It just makes you feel at home immediately. That thing goes, I mean, it's probably going to sell quickly anyways, but it'll really sell.
Well, I just realized something, though. Mike, you're cooking fish tonight, and you're going to try to sell your condo in which you're cooking fish tomorrow, right?
We've got vanilla plugins.
I was so going to say, open the windows because yes. We had a former employee here who used to microwave fish all the time and would take a priest to get the smell out of the office. So just be very careful about
dude,
that.
Dude, we got these new ceiling fans we installed. They came right off of B29, so okay, we'll be able good. To fumigate the room, Carl. We'll make this work. And by the way, Squid, I understand what you're saying, but knowing Midtown, the first guy who makes an offer on the house could be a vegan, so that might be a non-starter.
Oh, that's well, true maybe too. You can put some cabbage in there.
All right, guys, it is our hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home 2020. Again, we'd love to see your pictures. I'm going to do a ribeye steak. I'm doing something simple tonight because we're trying to eat dinner. Trends, actually, they've got high school football. Mike and I were talking about that. Mike, if you were down south, you'd be going to a game tonight. So we're trying to just do something simple and easy. But I am going to cook on Sunday again, so stay tuned for the pictures. Probably a couple of appetizers. And Mike Conti, you can, you know, I'm like you. I want to test things. So I saw, and I know you liked, what is it, twice baked potatoes?
The best.
So I saw this recipe for them on a plank, like a wood plank.
Okay.
That you do on the grill. So okay. You're actually going to prepare the potatoes, obviously, but when you... You know, when you twice bake them, you're going to put them on a plank and do them on the grill, add sour cream, all the cheese and all that stuff. So I'm going to try that, I think, this Sunday as well as one of my appetizers. But I'm probably going to do two or three just to snack on all day because I'm doing nothing but watching football anyway.
So. I am intrigued. Enough cheese and enough butter will make that taste great even if you miss it.
I know. And by the way, have you tried the butter at Buckhead Butcher Shop? Just curious.
So are you talking about the organic butter, like the Irish butter that they have there? Unbelievable!
Yes. Have you? So you've tried?
Right, put that on a steak. Put that on everything. It's great.
Yeah. It is, man. So we're just saying, if you guys haven't been, go check it out. But they've got all the accessories, and they'll help you with your recipes as well. Hey, Conti, it was good to get a win. I know, you know, it felt good. Let's hopefully we can build on it. Obviously, Conti is the voice of our Atlanta United guys. That's what we're talking about. But let's hope we can build on that. You know.
I would like the Chicago exacta on Sunday. Let's beat the Bears, and then let's beat Chicago Fire. That'd be a pretty good exacta for Monday morning, would it not?
It would. Right on. All right, guys, follow us. Again, Mike Conti, 929, Squidbilly, 929, Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, send your pictures, and make sure you use the hashtag Dukes and Bell Tailgate at Home 2020. We'd love to see what you guys are working with. We had a lot of fun. We're having a lot of fun with this, and it continues now that football is here. Bo Morgan, get us out of here.
Yeah, thanks for bringing the butter up. That's the only thing my steak was missing last night was that butter
so
from Buckhead Butcher Shop because I'm out of it and I haven't gotten back down there. Maybe I'll swing by there on the way home from the Falcons game on Sunday. All right, thanks, guys, to Buckhead Butcher Shop who brings you Dukes and Bell tailgate at home 2020. Hit the music.
Nice. Yeah, it's a Friday, baby. Brightbox got my TV set up. Buckhead Butcher Shop's got my fish ready, Carl. It's a good Friday, man. It really is, literally.
It is a good Friday.
And we've tied in all the sponsors.
It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, when a plan comes together. Hey, we got plenty more to get to, though. You're going to hear from our tight end coming up, talking about the week he had and how good is this receiving core we have. Harry Douglas is going to join us to talk about the Falcons-Bears matchup later on in the show. But when we come back, more college football conversation. Mike mentioned it. What game got canceled heading into the weekend? We're going to tell you next. We are
the dealers. What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.